All right. I don't. This is going nowhere.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was nowhere before we started.
What do you want to talk about photography-wise? New cameras?
I want to talk about great pictures.
Great photos. For example, what is a great photo?
Anything that I take.
Well, now you're being obsequious. I don't think you are. No, I don't think you are. I don't even know what obsequious means.
I was going to say, can you spell that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I used it incorrectly. But I feel like I'm going to go and Google it now, and I'm going to use it next week properly.
Perfect.
Oh, man, I have a giant wart right on the end of my obsequious. Hello and welcome to episode 201 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is...
Last minute decision to participate this week. I'm going to hang in one more week and see if this if it turns around. I'm hoping this show will turn around.
At the 200 mark. It felt weird saying 201 to me.
Yeah, because really, how long are we going to do this? Like, have you thought about this for any length of time?
No.
Because we're a long ways from 300 now.
Yes.
250, that would be big. Like, you know, quarter of a century. I don't know. Quarter of what? It's a quarter.
Are you putting an end, a cap on it?
I'm just trying to figure out when I can stop doing this. Yeah. Last week. In my mind, it was like, all right, 200, let's shut it down. Go out on a high note, right?
Right.
Now we're like 201, and now I'm trying to figure out where's my high note.
Well, I guess you've stopped learning.
Yeah,
you've hit the wall.
Yeah,
yeah. No. You know all there is to know.
Well, most of it.
Right.
It's not all I don't know all there is to know. I'm pretty sure my brain is saturated with all I need to know.
Right.
I'm really hoping that you change my mind this week and sell me on participation in 202. I can't wait for what you've got in store for this.
Well, I'm happy I have to dangle the carrot.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's exciting.
I'll let you know at whatever point this episode, because I don't know what the topic is or anything. If you are able to sell it to me, I will commit to like a season of whatever show. I'll commit to the next 13 episodes.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, we're going to talk about Bare Naked Ladies.
The group or the...
Yeah, the band.
Okay.
Well, the other one's inappropriate.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
What's the problem? There you go. Amazon. We'll talk about Amazon.
Yay.
Yeah, people, if you click through our site...
Right.
Go to Amazon. Go to our site, click through the Amazon link, and then go make your purchases. Whatever you're going to purchase. Powerboat, something like that.
Yes.
Evinrude. Get yourself an Evinrude.
Something. How about a tractor trailer or something like that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Even if they're used, to get it on Amazon.
Sounds good.
You know
what's
funny? You know what's funny is just on that note, I put a message up on the Facebook last week after our 200th episode because I thought, hey, you know what? I wonder how many episodes? Like how long we've talked for in 200 episodes?
Yeah.
And so I went through and I just had to add up with pencil and paper, add up all the times. It took me like 4 hours to add up all the time. And then I noticed in iTunes, it does it for you.
Perfect.
Yeah, so I could have just looked at the bottom of the iTunes window.
Did your answers match up?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, within a few seconds. I didn't do that first part. I just looked at the bottom of iTunes. I know how iTunes works.
Right.
Anyways, and so, yeah, it worked out to 7.5 days.
Wow.
Nonstop. Which I thought, oh, wow. And I thought, I wonder how if you could drive from Victoria, B.C. to Halifax, you know, how would it get you all the way there if you just, you know, hit play and kept going? Turns out it would get you there, back, and there again.
Wow. I don't plan on doing that drive, so.
I would, well, not the whole, not all three of them, but I would like to do it once.
Okay, go for it. Let me know how it works out.
Well, I'd like to go to Halifax and then drive to Victoria.
Sure.
Or Tofino, let's be honest. Probably Tofino. It's a little bit further. You know, so we'll need a couple more episodes out of you
okay.
first. But Anyway, so I put it out there, man, like, oh, man, who would do that? And then we got one of our listeners, a guy named Sam, who listens to us while he drives the long-haul truck. And he's listened to all 200 episodes while driving that long-haul truck.
The best part is he doesn't own a camera.
Yeah, no.
He just likes the sweet melodies of our voices.
That is a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Anyway, so in theory, he has made that drive himself, albeit in the Midwest of America.
Great. Good
to
hear. So
I don't know if it looks the same, yeah. So I thought, yeah, wow. That puts it in perspective.
Maybe that's our audience, is long-haul truck drivers with cameras.
There's got to be at least a dozen of those.
Yeah.
Right. Well, maybe they could get together and, get themselves a convoy.
That would be nice. I think there's maybe a movie sequel in there.
Yes. What's going on, Adam?
I have been obsessing about when and how I'm going to get a a portable light source for my new studio light.
Portable power source.
Portable power source. That's what I meant to say. Yeah. So I've been doing lots of research, and we talked about it just briefly, but I got an Alien B, Paul Buff Alien B light used off of Craigslist, which is awesome. For me, I probably would use it equally in both the house and outside if I had a portable power source for it. So that's what I've been after. Turns out they are wildly expensive outside of course, the Paul Buff version. So Paul Buff makes probably the biggest selling, very light. It's like 3.5 pounds Vegabond Mini that just clamps onto your stand. Super, super popular. Does not exist on Craigslist. So you have to go directly through Paul Buff. And when you're in the U.S., no problem. When you're in Canada, a little bit more of an issue. So I've made it a task of my wife for Christmas to sort out how to get me one without shipping it directly to Canada, where you get absolutely crushed in duty, and not so much duty, but in the handling charges that UPS charges for you. So anyways, it'll double the cost of the unit, which is only like, 230 bucks or something like that. But it ends up adding at least another $100 by the time it gets to your door if you go through Canada. So,
and I think the rub is if it just cost that, you'd pay it, but psychologically,
well, that's it. That's exactly.
I can't
it.
Do it. I can't go. I can't give the UPS or whoever's handling it.
Yes,
I can't give them $150 handling fee just 'cause.
And looking at all the comparables, like all the other companies that make portable light sources like this, like the Paul Buff one is a lithium ion battery. And I guess, they used to be lead acid batteries, which are way bigger, way heavier, and they provide, longer capacities, like bigger capacities. But the capacity on the small light lithium ion battery is so good already that you're going from, let's say, 400 pops on a charge to maybe 500 to 600, but you're adding five times the weight to your carrying. So you're talking about 18 to 20 pounds versus 3.5 pounds. And that 18 to 20 pounds also costs you basically 2 to 3 times price. So you're getting something that's far heavier, far more expensive, and I want neither of those options. So of course, when it's that popular, and the availability in Canada is a little bit more difficult, it doesn't exist on Craigslist. So
is there a possibility? I'm sure someone else has thought of this, of talking to Mr. PC Buff himself. And saying, listen, why don't we set up a Canadian distributor?
Right. And I imagine lots of people have probably tried, but that's their whole philosophy, as far as I know, is they only deal with them direct, and that's in the U.S. or in Canada. It's just or anywhere internationally. It's like I imagine lots of people have approached them because there's probably a huge market for it. I mean, all the Paul Buff Alien Bees, like, they go up on Craigslist and they sell in a couple of days, like, if they're appropriately priced. It's a hot commodity, but I think a lot of people have attempted that, and obviously they want to keep their business all going through their website. So
I appreciate that, but what if I mean, I would assume that if you did it directly with him, like, hey, yeah, you're just gonna have a one single rep in Canada, that would basically expedite all this. You know, so I don't know how you would do it, because the issue is there is no duty on this object,
right?
Because of the whole NAFTA, North American Free Trade Agreement, there is no duty on photography gear and a bunch of other things. The whole treaty wasn't just about photo stuff.
Yeah.
But that was one of the things. And so there is no duty on it. However, in Canada, we have a tax called the Goods and Services Tax, which is basically a national sales tax. Okay?
Yeah.
You know this. I'm telling our listeners. But so yes. I think it's 5%.
Okay.
So relatively speaking, not very high. So 5% on $200, or what, how much does it cost for the thing?
$240, let's say.
So $240. So you're looking at $12 and, you know, 35 cents.
Right.
Tax. So that's what it is. So when the UPS gets it, that you ship it to Canada, it has to go to a weigh station because they have to collect that $12. The government of Canada needs that $12. So UPS pays the $12, collects the $12 from you, but charges you $150 for the service.
Right.
That's what they're doing. That's why it costs so much money. It's not like, oh yeah, it's like they add a 5% fee on. It is outlandish.
Right.
So if Paul Buff, if you're listening, maybe he's a long haul trucker without a camera. You don't know.
That's right.
So if you're driving, you know, through Bozeman, Montana right now, think about, maybe Adam will do it. Adam will be your Canadian distributor.
I would love to be.
Or something like that. We'll work it out, because I know you don't want to go to camera stores. That I get.
Yes.
But if we could have some sort of you know, a pipeline where you could then order from and just do a front man. You'd be the front man.
Yes, I would be happy to be the front man for Paul Buff.
Awesome.
The other thing that I wanted to mention in terms of my, you know, trying to acquire certain things. So I got the Alien B Light, and then we've got the Cheetah Stand softbox, right? Which is set up to be a softbox with a speed light. So it comes with a bracket that you put your speed light on. And I thought, you know what? It'd be nice to have the option. Like, I have reflective umbrellas and I have shoot through umbrellas that I can use with the Alien B, but I wanted to have the option to use it with the softbox. So I kind of looked at, okay, well, how am I going to adapt it? Of course, you need a speed ring for the Alien B Light that is compatible with the Cheetah Stand softbox. So I go on to Cheetah Stand to look at, okay, they must have this option. And of course they do, specifically for Alien B strobes. They make an adapter ring for the Q-Box to go with the Alien B. So I think, great, all right, I've ordered from, I ordered your softbox from them, I ordered mine, I've ordered other stuff from there. I'm going to go on, I have an account on there, I'm going to go order it. Except for now it doesn't allow you to have a Canadian credit card on their site anymore. So obviously they've changed something. I used to ship it to the U.S. just across the line with all my Canadian information, but again, the address in the U.S., and then go across the line and pick it up. Well, now they've changed that, so they won't allow you to have a Canadian billing address, even though the shipping address is in the U.S. So I'm kind of out of luck, unless I get a U.S. credit card, or maybe I can deal with them on the phone to somehow do this without that workaround. But
there's got to be a PayPal option.
Again, couldn't find one, but I'll have to go back on there. I just could not make it work. And I was a little bit disappointed, because again, I've dealt with these guys before. I just went back into my own account and it would not allow me to do things the way I've done them before, which
somebody has ripped them off. That's what's happened.
Yeah. Which was disappointing, very disappointing.
I'd rather find the people who ripped them off and pee on their front lawn.
Yeah. And now I'm just wondering, hey, should I buy a universal speed ring and see if I can make it work with the Alien B? Like, it's not going to come up that much where I need that combination, but I certainly would like the option, right?
Oh, it's going to be awesome outside, because the good thing about the Alien B is that it's got a lot of power.
A lot of power.
And so you want to go outside and overpower the sun.
Right.
Oh my God, that's going to be awesome. And into a soft box, it's going to be, I believe the kids say, rad.
Yeah. And I might just turn around and buy the Paul Buff makes, you know, soft boxes with the proper ring in there for the Alien B already. So I might do that because I am sorting out, my wife actually has sorted out how to buy the Paul Buff stuff and get it shipped to the U.S. and just go across and pick it up. So we will be able to do that. You couldn't just do it from the internet, but she's calling and sorting that out. So they can do it. And then the question is, do I buy another soft box? The Paul Buff soft boxes, people seem to really like them too. And then I can't think of a downside to having, you know, a soft box option with the speed light and the addition of the soft box that will go with the Alien B. I'm just trying to talk myself into why I need another soft box versus just finding an adapter ring.
Yes, I'd go with that. What's the soft box retail for?
I think the Paul Buff one that I was looking at is about, I don't know, $115, something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
what does the adapter ring cost?
The adapter ring from Cheetah Stan, I think, was roughly $25, $30, something like that.
Okay. So for around $90, you're getting an ulcer.
Right.
Okay. Just buy the new soft box. As long as you have somewhere to keep it under the bed or wherever you stash your stuff.
Well, and it's a foldable one. It's not like it's going to take up a lot of space. But again,
no, I understand.
This is a whole thing of, I don't need another soft box, right?
You didn't need the first one.
I know.
Yeah.
But now I can't live without it. I use that soft box about 20 times more than I ever use an umbrella.
Yeah.
And now I'm basically relegated to using umbrellas when I pull out the Alien B.
Which outside, yeah, I'd rather have a softbox outside just for the wind and stuff like that.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Like, again, I don't know that it's, from a lighting standpoint, it's going to make that big of a difference, but absolutely from a wind standpoint, it will. And I don't really want this whole thing toppling over, especially when I invest another couple $100 in the portable battery that's going to be on the stand too. I don't want this falling over.
No. Yeah. There you go. I think we've both decided what you're going to do.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to make my wife buy me a bunch of Christmas presents.
That's a lot of what's going on. I'm going to cross off a bunch of stuff on my list and use it next week.
Yeah.
Because we ran out of time with that. But
cross it all off. Are we done?
I bought a background stand.
Oh, wow.
I finally pulled the trigger on that. I kind of was dragging my heels for a long time.
Did you then buy it at the store and like literally it's in your hands now?
No, I bought it on Amazon and literally it's in my hands right now.
Wow.
Yeah. Two days ago, I was humming and hawing, like, which one do I want? And like, because they make some cheap versions.
Right.
And I didn't want one of the cheap ones. I wanted to spend a little bit of money. Like, I didn't want to waste my money, but I didn't want to buy the cheapest one.
Right.
Because, you know, you end up getting tetanus out of the deal and that's no fun. And so I bought it with the one from Volumex, whatever it's called. Same as my cinema lens that I have.
Okay.
So it's around $100 or something like that.
Yeah.
And really sturdy, really, really well, really, really, really well built. And so I was kind of, you know, which one do I want? And ultimately, I pulled the trigger on it like, I don't know, Wednesday night at around 10:30 at night.
Okay.
And I have Amazon Prime, which I love. And it said, okay, yeah, next day, but it's super late, so it'll come Friday, which is today,
mm-hmm.
when we're recording this. But no, Thursday morning at 9, the bell rings. Like,
wow.
Less than 12 hours later, the thing is at my door.
So obviously they have a local distributor or something.
Yeah, or there's a guy sitting outside of my house with binoculars. Hey, what do you think he's going to buy next?
Yeah. I hope so.
So, I mean, besides the fact that we are, you know, shills for Amazon, I actually love Amazon.
Yeah. That's just good service right there. Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, so the good news is, if you're not already a Prime subscriber, you should be. They just added a new feature today. They add a whole bunch of stuff like music. You get unlimited music to listen to, and you know, they have a sort of a version of Netflix that you can do Amazon Prime Video or something.
Okay,
I've not done these things, but because I'm Germany and blah blah blah, bunch of big sob story about that. But they just announced that like you can basically store up until now you could store up to 5 gigabytes of photos.
Okay.
on the basically their cloud drive or whatever they're calling it.
Sure. Yeah.
A couple days ago, they announced boom, unlimited photos. Go.
Wow.
As a backup, and apparently they I haven't confirmed this, but people say that they even handle RAW. You can back up RAW photos. You could back up your entire library online on the cloud if you like.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. That's
is pretty cool. Yeah, and so I'm going to go ahead and use it. For me, what I use it for is I just want to be able to view photos on my iPad without storing my entire library on my iPad.
Right.
So I want it to exist in a JPEG format offline, like in the cloud somewhere, and if whenever I'm online, which is around the house, always online or at a friend's house or something, I can access my entire library that I've organized, boom, right there in great resolution.
Right.
And so that's a great up until now I've been using Dropbox and love it, but if you want to expand that, it costs I don't know what it costs, if, you know, a few cents a month or something like that, but with Amazon I'm going to do unlimited for included with a service I already use and love. That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to back you up a second and ask about the background set.
Yeah.
Okay, so one of the things I love about the background set that I bought the Savage one a couple of years ago. Savage, one of the big brands for making the paper rolls.
Mm-hmm.
I bought their version of the stand, and we probably talked about it a few years back. But one of the things I like most about it is essentially it's two heavy-duty light stands with a crossbar. So
correct.
I already have a couple of Manfrotto light stands, but you know I've two, but sometimes I want a third light stand, in which case I just, if I'm not using the background kit, I just borrow one of those light stands. And I mean, it's a slightly different top on the stands that I have for the background kit, but it still works perfectly with mounting that Q-box. With that bracket, it goes on perfectly. So not all the flash brackets mount sturdily enough, but certainly the Q-box one does. So I love it because they're heavier stands than the Manfrotto ones for sure. But sometimes that's exactly what I want, is I want something that is going to be very difficult to tip over. So it's also like you're kind of getting a 2-4 there. You're getting, you know, potentially two more light stands as well as a background kit.
Not only that, they extend much higher.
Yes, I agree. They go up to like whatever, 10 feet.
Yes, something like that. I don't know. They do it in meters here, of course,
okay,
which we should do in Canada too. But yeah, so the good news is if you need to go higher, boom, there you go.
So for anybody who's, you know, on the fence about whether or not they want a background kit, if you don't already own a couple of light stands or possibly want more, think about that as your selling point. So you're getting also light stands at the same time. Again, not the lightest light stands out there.
No.
So if you're looking for super light and super portable, I don't think they fall into that category. But still, if you're setting stuff up around the house and making your sort of home studio, wildly useful as extra
light
stands.
Unless you're a power lifter, and then they are very portable.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
Something to think about. Yes, I do love them for that. So one more piece of business before we move on to the rest of the show.
Okay.
Very excited. This Thursday, when people are hearing this on Monday, Thursday night on CBC, our good friend Don Komarechka will be featured on The Nature of Things.
Wow. With David Suzuki?
I don't think it's a David Suzuki episode, but it is the David Suzuki show.
Okay.
Not to take it away from Don whatsoever, but I did ask him that specifically. He said no, he wasn't. Him and Dave didn't go for sushi after.
And he taped this like a long time ago, right? Because I remember
it's
vaguely
been a few segments. Yeah,
I remember vaguely, you know, him talking about it, but we're talking a way back, right? 6 months-ish.
Oh, at least.
Yeah, maybe more.
At least probably longer. When he was on the show, he told us about it, that he taped a few segments here and there, and it would air this year. Well, now it's airing on Thursday. It's called Chasing Snowflakes, and you can check it out. We'll post a link to the website if you're
in Canada. Set your PVRs, people.
Do it. Set your PVRs. For those who don't know, I mean, if you're Canadian, you definitely know what The Nature of Things is and what CBC is. And who David Suzuki is. So you know what all those three things are. And it's a pretty big deal. Like, to get featured on that show in Canada is a pretty big deal. So that's pretty impressive. So good job to Don. Now, around the world, if you don't know, well, you're going to know. You're going to go ahead and tune in, I'm guessing, because you want to see...
And if you can't tune in because of whatever country you're in, then via the web, I'm sure you can get the episode.
Right. But that's where it gets tricky.
Okay.
And so we're going to solve
those
problems.
I take that back.
No, it's not impossible. It's not impossible. So we'll deal with that. I'll post some links or talk about how to do that. One thing that I would do, because usually it's available on the CBC website. And that's, again, we'll post a link, but it's cbc.ca. But most of the content is only available if you're in Canada.
Ooh.
Okay. So you have to set up something called a VPN. So there's a bunch of services you can do that will do that will spoof your MAC address. I'm not sure how it works. I don't really care. But it'll basically, pretend that your computer is in Canada, even though you're in Norway, for example. And you can go ahead and watch that content. And you can do this for free. So if anyone's listening and wants to go ahead and do that, and you're using, I don't know, there's multiple ways to do it. I happen to use Google Chrome as a web browser. I think Firefox works as well. You can get a free add-on called Hola. That's H-O-L-A.
Okay.
That you just add on, that basically you can then turn it on and it will act as a VPN, and you can choose what country you want to technically be in. So if you choose Canada and then go to cbc.ca, you should be able to watch that episode online after it airs. So it airs, I think...
You said Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday night. So at whatever time, Eastern...
Do the math.
Yeah, Eastern Standard Time. I think it's probably an 8 o'clock show. So
okay.
Do the math around the world. After that, it'll be available online. Use Hola. And if not, then we'll figure out how to get... You can probably download it off the torrent sites, which I don't normally condone, but if you go all the rest of the routes and try to do it legally and you can't, go with the torrents.
Cool.
That's what I recommend. So looking forward to that on Thursday. Adam, I shot nothing interesting this week. You?
Nope.
Whew, thank God. Oh, that's great. I'm thrilled because we ran out of time for that.
But I really didn't, so I'm not just saying that.
No, I didn't either.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't either. Really just did nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't take the camera out until last night, just in time to get a photo challenge.
Let's do the photo challenge. Black and white.
Okay.
So this is your photo challenge. Let's see your picture. Go.
There it is.
Love it. Love it-ish. I'm going to shoot you straight.
Yeah.
I could use a little less table. That's all.
Okay. You know what the funny thing is I cropped it in two different versions. Mm-hmm. And showed my wife the more table version and mm-hmm. the less table version, and I left it up to her. I said, "Hey, you choose," and she chose the more table version. So I blame it on her. Do you want me to put the other version in the box, and you can let the power of the people decide?
Nah, we can all imagine it.
All right, version's got less table.
Well, then I guess your wife should have cleaned the table first.
No, it's not. The table's clean. There's scratches on the table.
Uh-huh.
It's a real wood table, and
gotcha.
I actually wiped it down. Those are actually chunks in the table, like gouges in the table.
Well, not much you can do about that then.
But I agree, because I cropped it to take the big gouge out in the right at the front of the frame,
uh-huh.
or I don't know what you call the bottom of the frame, and again, then you still see the other couple of scratches in there. And so I thought it didn't really make much difference other than I find that first big gouge in the table more distracting.
Yeah,
but
it's
not pleasing. In color, it actually, you notice it a lot less. So
right.
The black and white does bring that up a lot more. So anyways, bottom line is I agree with you. But I love the expression. I love the angle. I like mm-hmm. the light. In my mind, I was going to do this and completely black out the background and just kind of have a little bit of light on her face, except for I had 3 minutes to concoct this photo. And and I had, this is right before bedtime. And so Sarah, she was like, "Are you ready, Dad? Are you ready, Dad?" And my wife was like, "Hey, you just got to have a bath before bed." And so this is what you get. So
I'm glad you did this. What is this? Just the wall in the background?
Just the wall, yeah.
Just the wall.
So she's leaning over a wooden table. And yeah, that's it. I actually had her make a birthday card for you because it was your birthday surprise.
Mm-hmm,
so you had a big party and everything. So she made a birthday card. And then I'm like, oh, should we use the birthday card photos? But she really wanted to make it a sequence of photos. And so I said, okay, we'll send that to Al as a birthday card, but we'll take the birthday card out of it for the photo. So this was her just, I just like the pose. That's the
bottom line.
I'd
love it too. That's the thing is, I think you're underselling the quality of this picture because it was so simple for you to do.
Maybe. I think what I really like the photo. Don't get me wrong. I like the photo. I don't think that it's better for being black and white. I think that the color version is just as good, might even be better. So as far as the challenge goes and making black and white, this does not need to be black and white. Like, it's some photos lend themselves better to black and white than others. This one, to me, I show you a color versus the black and white, and I think most people would probably say, I like the color.
What color is her shirt?
I think it's purple.
Yeah, I was going to guess red was my guess, but wrong.
I believe it's purple. Yeah,
I think you can't go wrong because your walls are kind of painted sort of like an earthy kind of color, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't know what you call that, and so that wouldn't distract.
Call it beige.
Is it just beige?
It's beige. Yeah,
and so it wouldn't distract, and so it would probably look good. If the walls were a certain color, then it definitely had to be black and white. But no, you're right. I like it in black and white, but. And you used your new Alien B light, correct?
I did not. That's
you
just,
did not.
I did not. I just used the flash in the cue box.
Really? Yeah. I'm trying to look at the it's a very small version I have. I thought the catch lights appeared to be round, but I guess they're just small squares.
They are squares, indeed.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. And then again, this is the move I did last week, and I'm kind of falling in love with it for certain photos like this, is, again, I just added the vignette. So the wall to me was just too flat, it was all essentially a uniform color, and I just found that, it's just too flat for me. So I play around with the vignette and, you know, increasing the radius until I just get a little bit of that darkness around. And I just, again, I feel like it brings the attention more towards the subject, which in this case is my daughter and mostly her eyes, and just loving that vignette. So no, I don't think I'd use it in an outdoor shot, but in this kind of shot or in the Iron Man shot I did last time, I just like what it does to the background.
When used responsibly, like in this case, I wasn't sure if you had vignetted or not. When used responsibly, it looks like the light is just kind of falling off on the background. It looks like it could be an in-camera thing versus, you know, if you do it outdoors, it usually becomes apparent that it's
right.
A vignette.
Right, yeah.
But this could just be the way you angled the light and it's not hitting the wall equally.
Right.
So it looks good. Nope, love it.
Okay.
Good.
Yours.
All right, here's mine. So again,
which one did you choose? Because there was two in the box.
This is the simple, the one not marked two.
The one not marked two. Okay, good because that's the one I like a lot better. I like the
other one's there for a reason. It's nothing to do with the challenge.
Okay.
It's a Segway photo.
Okay,
it's a black and white picture of my daughter riding a Segway. No. This one is So I finally convinced my daughter to sit for a photo.
Yeah.
And again, I think this was the second one of two snaps that I took, and then she was done. So this is it.
And this photo is kind of in my mind what I had in mind for my daughter's photo in terms of the real sharp contrast between, you know, sort of the background and the foreground. So I'm glad you did it because, I mean, if you Google... black and white portraits, most of them are going to look like this. It just, I did it. And this is certainly the contrast that, you know, photographers in general are looking for. So maybe it's good that I did an alternative. Let's call it that. It's good that I did an alternative. I was thinking outside the box.
Sure.
No, but I really like this effect. I like the light just really drawing attention to her face and her eyes. I might like the pose a little bit more if I could see that far eye, like just a little bit more. If she was just, I like her looking away from the camera, but I would like to see the angle of a few more degrees towards the camera, whether you're rotating your body or if she was looking a little bit more towards the camera. I just don't like the nose with the positioning with the eye. Like, I love
you don't want to just look up and see her sinuses?
No, that's what I'm kind of getting at. That plus her nose covers 3/4 of that far eye. The lighting and everything is perfect, just the head position. But again, you're dealing with a 3-year-old, so good luck with that. So
yes, this is the best I could possibly get. After this, it was really it got worse from here. But I did she did sit patiently for a minute, which I couldn't believe, but she wouldn't do exactly what I wanted, which is see both eyes. This is the beauty of this photo to me is I like it, it's my daughter, blah, 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 but it is so wickedly simple to do.
Okay, well, I want to hear it.
Like, you don't need a background. This is in a white room.
Okay.
This photo. You do need a little bit of space between you and the background.
Right.
Otherwise, the light's just going to fill it up. This is just a bare flash, a Nikon SB28 on 1/64th power, I think. Okay. As low as it'll go.
Yeah.
Zoomed all the way in with a cereal box snout. Snout? Snoot.
Snoot.
I meant to say snoot.
Yeah, I was going to say you've got to snoot this, otherwise the light's going to hit other things in your white room. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to, but you need a bigger room then.
Yeah.
And so, this is a decent-sized room, but still, throw the snoot on there. I think it could also, it could be called a snout, technically.
Sure.
I think I'm going to make, if you do, yeah, I'm going to call it a snout from now on.
Okay.
Yeah, and then sell them for double the price.
And then you got to just draw nostrils on them.
Oh, no question. Yeah. No question. Yeah, so this is one of the ones I made out of cardboard, just quickly attached it with the
Velcro?
Velcro. Yeah. I thought it started with a Z, and I couldn't think of it. Ziploc. No, attached it with the Velcro, popped it right on there, and basically raised it up, pointed it down, told her, look into the light.
Right.
That's it. You know, so the rest of it, her fists and whatever she's doing is all on her. And that's where I got this and made sure I exposed, knocked the exposure down, go to ISO 100, go to the maximum shutter speed, in this case 1/160th, because this is my 5D Classic.
Right.
So knock that right down, and I don't know what the ISO was, probably like an f2.8, I forget, doesn't matter. Point was, it was pitch black in that room before the flash came on.
Mm-hmm.
Add just enough flash to light her up, and you're off the races. So this is essentially, aside from a little bit of a crop to make it more square, pretty much out of the camera.
Yeah, that's the nice thing. And like you say, I really like this effect for a portrait of a child. It's just something totally different than, you know, most people are going to be able to do without, you know, the little bit of know-how here. You can't just, you're not going to happen upon this photo with your point and shoot.
No. And if you do, wow, are you the best? Seriously. Like, you have to go pro at that point.
Yes.
Like, yeah, I don't know, on camera flash and everything. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. Yeah. I have no clue. So there you go. Okay. So I did include another photo.
Okay.
So here's another black and white photo of my daughter play-doing.
Right.
So there you go. What do you think of that?
Yeah. It's kind of, it's, again, I've got nothing wrong with it, except for there's a lot of distraction going on here. I really don't like those, whatever that background door thing is there that sits
my
right
house.
Behind her. Is that, like, what is that? What is that? Is that the doorway? Like, what
just
is
the doorway?
That?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish that wasn't there. Otherwise, I'm okay with it. And it just, the tone of it seems so dark for what she's doing. Like, she's playing Play-Doh, and it seems like a Halloween horror picture. I don't know.
It's like I sent you notes, but I didn't. I didn't send you notes.
No, you didn't.
I don't know if I can make this any. I really. How can I tell our listeners and have them believe me that we did zero prep for this show?
We do zero prep for every show.
Yeah,
I do. I do zero prep for every
show. Okay, I do zero plus a little bit, 5%. And so I promise you, this is not set up. Now, I did take this on purpose. I took this photo on purpose for this. This week's topic is it's called forcing style. We all know style, and, you know, like, what y'all, everybody has their own style. There's different styles that you have within your style, like different ways to take pictures. But what if we force that on something?
Okay.
in a situation where it doesn't fit.
Is that what you were doing here?
That's what I did here. You're absolutely right. It's a cool looking effect. The lighting's cool. The where the light is and the hard light. It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit with her playing Play-Doh. Are you kidding me?
Right.
Play-Doh is fun, bright, lots of colors, wide open, not jammed next to the wall with the super, you know, high contrast lighting situation.
Right. Oh, phew. I'm glad that I was on the money there.
You were bang on the money.
That lends credibility to my critiques all the time when I say your stuff is not as good as mine.
No question. I think you just totally redeemed yourself. Now, what made me think about this is I was thinking about movies a while ago. And I thought about it because, you know what, do you know what came, you know what, 20 years ago, do you know what came out in the theaters?
No. Lots
Pulp
of things.
Pulp Fiction.
Wow, that long ago.
20 years ago, I think last month. I think it was September or October, whenever it was. 20 years ago, Pulp Fiction came out.
Bring out the gimp.
I saw Pulp Fiction opening night in the theater and proceeded to see it, I think, 5 or 6 more times in the theater. I'm not even joking.
I had a movie poster, a huge one, like the giant one, in my room, or in my, not in my room, in my university dorm room, because I love that movie so much.
So much. It, when that hit, it was just like, wow. You know, we had never seen that before.
No, it was awesome.
And after that came out, a whole slew of movies followed that had pretty much the same style. Like Tarantino, like he sparked this whole revolution, and then all of a sudden everybody started to make their version of Pulp Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
The problem at the time was what I always kept seeing was that style didn't suit their subject matter.
Right.
You know, there was a movie, like one movie that I just have in mind, I can't stop thinking about, was a movie called Suicide Kings. Don't know if you ever saw it.
Never did. I know the title, did not see it.
You know, decent enough movie, but it just reminded me, I was like, wow, he's really trying to do Pulp, like not specifically Pulp Fiction, but really in that vein, and I didn't think it suited, and I didn't like the movie because of that. And I'm picking on one movie in particular, but I wanted to give one example. There's a whole lot of them that just don't work.
Right.
So what my point was what works for one example doesn't just work all the time. You can't go, oh, that's a great style, run with it. The same is true with photography. So let's say you develop a cool style, like a cool little technique that you've kind of developed over the years with the lights or whatever it is that you do. Of course, you want to run with it and just shoot it on everything. That's probably a mistake.
Yes.
Don't do it. Ask yourself, does this style reflect the subject? Do the two of them work together? You know, like the right wine with the right fish or something.
Right. Yes, I understand.
So what wine do you get with fish?
I'm not really a wine drinker.
Yeah, I just get white because even though you can get red wine with fish, I don't know which one, so I just get white and it seems like I know what I'm doing.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So, but the point is you want to get something that works together. You don't want to fight. So in this example, you might love super high contrast, moody images.
Mm-hmm.
But the bride might not.
Right.
She might want her wedding day to be open and airy and lovely. And here you come in shooting the sequel to Dracula. That seems silly.
Yes.
But it's tough. It's tough because you get married to this idea, and like you, not even if it's not a paid client, like you just start shooting, and you're shooting your kids playing or whatever it is, and you kind of get married to that idea. It's hard to break free.
I'll give you an example in how right you are on this subject. I'm sure this is my yes and for this week. But when I first got my off-camera lighting, right? So I had, you know, external flash, and then I bought the triggers, and then I bought, you know, stands and umbrellas, and I was like, oh, super gung-ho to shoot off-camera lighting. Well, what I did first off, of course, the subject matter is my kids, is, you know, I put them in positions, and then I set up all this lighting, and I really wanted to, you know, highlight the fact that I was doing off-camera lighting. So I was shooting, you know, one light with, you know, super harsh angles, which were creating like these dramatic shadows on my kids' faces. So my daughter would be sitting there and posing with a nice smiley face, and you'd get, you know, these really, really high contrast images with the dark shadows on one side of her face. And I was thinking, oh, this is super cool looking. And looking back on it, and I mean, I think even at the time you said, it's kind of dark for, you know, a kid's picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it immediately occurred to me, like, I mean, I was stylizing it. I thought, again, I was doing something that I couldn't do before I had this stuff, which to me was cool, but none of the images were really that pleasing. And just changing angles and filling in shadows, I mean, you made the images so much more pleasing. But then again, in my mind, I was like, well, you know, I can't really, I mean, I can't really tell of all the cool stuff that I'm using, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it works the same way again with when you get your first prime lens that goes to f1.8. You shoot everything at f1.8. You have the Grand Canyon and you're shooting at f1.8. Well, that's kind of silly.
Yeah.
You know, you want to include, you really, in that case, you want to have, you know, super deep depth of field,
right,
so that you can see everything. But no, you have it in your mind that you're going to do this, and boom. Now I'm glad to say that I never made those mistakes. I right from the beginning, I always married the tone to the subject.
Right. Yeah, of course you did.
Yeah, that's a complete lie. I have the same photos you do. Or, oh yeah, of course. Not only is it off camera, it is way off camera.
Yeah.
You know, it's off some other guy's camera too. Like, it's that far. And so, you know, don't do it. Now, recently, I don't know if you probably didn't. I'm not sure if you read this one or not. We had a listener email, and she mentioned to me that she was getting ready to take a trip to see her father in hospital, who'd been ill for some time, and the situation was grave.
Okay. I did not see this. This is all fresh to me. Okay.
And so in part of the email, you know, she had wondered, you know, if she should bring her camera. She was kind of debating, you know, do I bring my camera or don't I? And my advice at the time and now is yes, definitely bring your camera and take some respectful photos in the bad times and then put them away. Don't even look at them that day. Put them on your computer. Don't touch them and don't look at them for like 3 years. Just leave them there. And then look back, and with some perspective, you'll be very, very glad that you took those photos. However, I would be very careful to make sure that they had the appropriate style.
Right.
You're not going to have them, you know, super flat, well lit, with everybody smiling.
Right.
That's not going to strike the right tone. It's not going to feel like it did at the time. You know, the same similar situation would happen when my son was born. And we talked about on the Christmas episode last year, I think.
Ringing endorsement for the Christmas episode this year coming up.
Yeah. Well, I have no more sons coming. So, not yet anyways, as far
but
as
I'm,
I know.
I'm just saying you never know what you might miss if you don't listen to the Christmas episode.
Well, part of what you know when that happened is we were, you know, just before we were going to go into the delivery room, it became apparent that we were going to have to have a C-section.
Right. Which, and by we, you mean your wife.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. However, that was my wife was not happy about that. She was devastated.
Right.
Okay. And so here's this, what she's looking forward to being this wonderful time, and this happens. And so while she's devastated, I took a photo, and that's what I talked about on the show. Is I took her photo when she's sitting there, and I tried to convey the proper tone. So again, I didn't have a nice, wonderfully lit, and you know, people in the background giving the thumbs up. And right. It's black and white. I mean, I put it in black and white, and that's where it shall stay because of just the situation is the emotions and the picture, the style of the picture matches the emotions on my wife's face. So to me, that's important.
Right.
However, it can get murky because sometimes the very juxtaposition of style and substance can work quite well. Do you have an example of that?
No,
I'll give
I don't.
You a hint. I'll give you a hint. Yes, you do.
Oh, do I?
Adam's hockey engagement photos.
Oh, good point. Yeah.
Now, this is a complete juxtaposition. You think engagement photos, you know, everybody's walking, you know, the end of October, there's the golden light coming in, there's leaves are falling, you know, it's love, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
That's engagement photos.
Right.
Engagement photos aren't black background and the bride punching the guy in the face in a hockey jersey. Unless right. you're making a Hungarian comic book, and then
that's right. Then that's exactly what you do.
Then you do that. That's obvious.
Yeah.
You know, but so in this case, the couple loved them because it was that juxtaposition of, you know, what you normally would expect.
Right.
Okay.
And we also did. I'm not a completely insane photographer. We also did some of the nice ones.
Well, absolutely. It is nice to have a little backup.
Yeah, yeah. I just thought, hey, these are going to be super cool. I know I'm going to like them, but yeah, let's just take a few nice ones just in case you guys aren't thrilled with the result.
Right.
Yeah.
Another example, if you're going to photograph your kids in some sort of a hard-boiled film noir, black and white type scene,
mm-hmm.
the fish out of water feeling will probably work. Because you don't expect to see a kid in a, you know, as Sam Spade or some sort of a, you know, in a Dashiell Hammett book.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll work to comic effect. You're going to get a laugh out of people to see your kids. Now, I recommend doing that. Like, the film noir whole style is pretty awesome and really easy to replicate with speed lights. And so that's kind of fun. Maybe that'll be the topic this week because it's kind of fun.
Okay.
But with your kids, it's going to get a comic effect. Not comic like a comic book, but like a funny. People are going to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? In this case, you have to be aware, though, that the style now becomes the substance. The style becomes very apparent and will overshadow the subject matter.
Right.
So the first thing you see is the style, and then you see, like, then you kind of fall into the rest of the picture. Nothing wrong with that if that's what you're going for. So I personally, I like the style to be the frame of the photo, while the subject is the actual photo.
Right.
Usually. Sometimes I prefer the glory. Wow, who took that?
Yeah.
You know, but if you're doing, but really, if you're doing it, in my opinion, right, people won't notice the style of your picture until, you know, days later, if at all. Like, you will just disappear into a good photo if you do it correctly.
Okay. I'll take your word for it, yeah.
Back to Pulp Fiction before we end the show.
Okay.
That style is very much suited to that subject matter. The way, like, his nonlinear storytelling and all that, much has been made about the nonlinear storytelling and how, oh, my, you know, he didn't play by any of the rules and blah, blah, blah. But if you break it down in its structure, it still follows the standard storytelling paradigm, despite being in the nonlinear. And that's where Tarantino is a complete mad genius. We're not all mad geniuses.
No.
So if you're willing to go ahead and learn the structure and then basically break the mold, awesome. As long as the cake tastes good. Otherwise, you just have a broken mold.
Wow, that's deep.
Preach!
Super deep.
There you go.
I'm going to have nightmares about that.
Don't break the mold.
Okay.
Do it. Just kidding. Break the mold. Totally break the mold.
Oh, you just told me not to.
No, I meant but that was the juxtaposition. So actually break the mold.
Okay, I just broke it.
So photo challenge. I'm going to give you your choice.
Okay.
Of what I just said, because I didn't write this down. I didn't think we should do a film noir, but now I'm thinking we should. Or Sunrise.
Oh, that's tough. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to see the sun in the next week just because it's just cloudy and rainy every day. So
okay.
Let's go with the film noir.
Let's do film noir. And that means film black in Spanish.
Okay.
And we'll talk about
it. I don't really know what it is, so I'm going to have to Google it.
You'll have to, no problem. You'll see some great examples and wonder why you hadn't been doing that. I'm going to give you a hint. It's all black and white, and a lot of hard light.
Okay.
Hard light, black and white, similar to what we've done this week, but a little bit more stylized.
Okay.
And so it can be with your kids. Doesn't have to be with your kids, but it's going to be with your kids. Let's be honest.
It might be me. It might be me this time. I haven't been in a photo for a while, and I am going to be maybe in it this week.
Ooh.
Yeah. Stay tuned for that.
We're all looking forward to that.
I'm going to do a bunch of push-ups before I go into the frame.
You do the same amount as me plus one.
Yeah.
All right. Websites. Adam, where can people find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca. Where?
How's that going for
all
you? Is
the
one of
cool
the top
kids
five
go.
Websites yet?
Probably. I don't know. I don't know how any of that works. But I'm going to assume that it is. Yeah. Of all the Adam Schwartzes, top five.
Oh, definitely.
Of all the Adam Schwartzes in Canada, definitely top five.
Yeah.
So yeah, how about your stuff?
I'm going to start. Yeah, mine is also one of the top Adam Schwartz websites. Well, no, you can find also your stuff on Facebook as well.
Oh,
but my stuff,
Yeah.
At alanatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find all the links to what we just talked about. And remember, set your PVR. It's called PVR, right?
Sure.
Set your PVR and check out The Nature of Things on Thursday with Don Komarechka. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.